Welcome to
Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
And I'm Bernice. We've missed you guys.
It's been, well, we actually did one not that long ago.
Yeah, about two weeks ago.
That's pretty good for us.
It's pretty good for us. Kaylee and I have been working with someone recently.
Oh, you're going right into it.
Yeah, I want to go right into it. That's how I am. I don't have a lot of
Foreplay. That's unfortunate.
Maybe that's a problem.
Doesn't seem to be from what I've heard.
Ooh, it's hot where we're
recording. She's fanning herself right now.
And because Kaylee just taught a class.
She's and I a little was, anxious because of the heat.
I was all, yeah, how about the people saying like, I can't wear a mask because I have claustrophobia. I'm like, I do too, okay? So if I can, you can. I'm all like, and then nobody can hear me. I'm like, they're like, what? I'm like, and they're like, what are you saying? If I'm like shouting, like, I want donuts.
Does your mask fit?
It's like I got this.
Is
thick,
it too tight?
Thick cloth.
Mine is a little too tight, so it presses on my nose. So I get like a red nose, and then I literally feel like I have no air in there because it's so squished on my face.
Oh yeah, it's.
I think I should get a bigger one.
You should get a bigger one, yeah. I've got a few of them now. It's like face mask.
It's like style.
Style. I know. Everyone's fashion. Like, I went to another store and they had a Mickey Mouse one. And I'm like, I'm getting it. And the woman totally behind the would. Counter's like, oh, we wanted to get that later. I'm like, yeah, but I'm getting it now.
You got it?
I bought it.
Do you wear it?
I wore it into the hardware store today.
I did not even know you liked Mickey Mouse.
I don't really like Mickey Mouse, but it kind of called to me like, that's what I'm wearing. You won't even guess that I like to wear Mickey Mouse. I love doing stuff like that.
I would never guess that you would buy a Mickey Mouse mask.
See?
Have you ever been to Disneyland?
Once.
Have you ever, like... You guys, this lady Bernice, she...
I know, they're all like...
On her dashboard, what is that thing on your dashboard? It's like a fries, like it's a box of fries.
It's a little mouse or a bunny rabbit holding a box of popcorn. It's a little it's from Japan, a cute little product. It's a squishy.
You guys, it's been on your dashboard for like years. It's literally a little mouse or something holding a thing of popcorn.
Popcorn, and when you squish it,
it's like for people with anxiety.
Yeah, whatever. You squish it in a teeny ball, and then you let go. Listen to this, folks. You let go, and it comes back to life.
Everyone has seen these. She's very excited to tell you all what a squishy does.
It was like the time we flew, and they made me carry a camera, a Polaroid camera. You remember those where you. It shot the picture out, and it made a picture right there for you.
Bernice, we know what a Polaroid camera is. Oh, my God.
Well, they made me carry it at the airport, and the man's like, do you have any film? And I'm like, I've got a Polaroid camera. And then I start explaining, like, well, it's a Polaroid. You know, in the old days, it would shoot a picture out, and Kaylee's just like, everybody knows what a Polaroid is.
See, she's telling it to you guys again. Like, it's like...
It's magic is what it is. You people don't know. I know. It's all right. That's what I'm here for.
Okay. 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 Now we can start talking about a podcast.
So
I needed some foreplay.
She needed a little warm up.
I needed to get warmed up.
That's personally. A mistake, though, when she has me start, because I'm all like, my notes say.
I know. She's like, I'll start today. I have a great intro. So it's like, welcome to Mind Body Stuff. Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go.
Not warmed up at all? Not ready for some soul searching?
I'm warm.
She's hot now. So,
I'm ready for you.
You're ready for me. Kaylee just taught a class.
I don't know if we can say her name. I feel like she's like our secret friend.
I feel like, anyway, I won't say her name. And later we could ask her maybe.
We'll ask her if we can say her name.
In the future. But I won't say her name now.
Yeah.
It's not Voldemort.
We've been working with Voldemort, just so you know, on some branding. We really think it's going to be successful.
The name we shall not speak. Voldemort. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. She did now.
That's right.
Anyway, we have been working with someone whose name we shall not speak, who has been amazing, by the way. I mean, just like.
I feel like she's my best friend now.
Oh my God, I love her. I'm like, I want to go to her house and have dinner. Perhaps she'll invite me for drinks and dinner.
Not during COVID.
Oh, that's right. I would wear my Mickey Mouse mask and sit on the patio.
I could see you try to eat with pull it down.
Around my neck.
Dribble everything all over it.
Sorry, Mickey. I love you.
Okay, so
anyway, so we've been working with our special to help us figure out our branding. And because
10 years later, we still don't know what the hell it is we do.
Because we think what we do is really good. But I think our product is really good. We think Ula is really, really good. And we're still continuing to be surprised by it, even today.
I surprised myself by it today.
Yeah, talk about why you were surprised.
Can I tell you why I was so surprised today? Well, because I've been like lazy bones. I'm sorry, I won't say that so it doesn't offend anyone else who is doing something more similar to me. That's not lazy at all. But what I've been doing is just, I've been teaching full hour length classes. So I've been doing like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and it's really hard to go through the full emotional class curve in those short classes. So I've just been doing like fun or like cardio heavy classes and just like, whoa, we're going to get a workout and it's going to be super fun, which is fun. It's totally fun. But today we taught, a class that had a little bit more of like the grit to it and the like a little bit of fire and anger and like, you know, anyways, lots of like girl power.
A lot of girl power and then some sadness sort of mixed in there.
Total sadness.
All of a sudden I got teared up and I'm like, what are you tearing up for? You've done this song 1,000 times.
Yeah. And so yesterday I had a really interesting interaction where I had to negotiate with a male, a powerful male, a male in a power figure.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to negotiate with him. And I really believed in what I was asking for, and I believed it to be fair. And, you know, I'd been pumped up with Bernice before this, you know, got my game plan. And when I'm meeting with him, like, it was really fascinating to kind of remove myself from the situation and watch it. And here's this man, and he's actually, I mean, he's a great guy. Like,
great
he's a
guy.
Wonderful man. I really enjoy him as a person. He's a good man. But I was just watching the two of us, and he was in this, like, power pose. Like, his legs were spread apart, he had his arms crossed, and he was chewing gum. And it felt like really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at my body language, my feet were together. I had my hands, like, what's this called? What am I doing?
Praying.
I wasn't praying. My hands were like clasped.
Like clasped. That's
my hands
word,
were clasped, like in front of my body.
But that's so like.
So I was like
little,
getting very
teeny,
small.
Tiny.
Like I could almost feel my shoulders coming in, and I was like, "Well, you know, like I just really think blah 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 blah." And I walked away from that conversation, and I was like, "Oh my God! Like you are all about women's empowerment, and like still, when you were in a situation where you were with a powerful male authority figure, you just shrunk and you asked and you said, well, I'm just hoping that maybe.
And look how your voice changed.
And my voice changed.
Went to a little higher pitch. I'm just hoping.
I totally did. Like, you guys, I did this.
So fascinating.
So then today we did these songs that were just like, you know, like girl power. And of course, like.
I'm not your toy.
I'm not your toy. And no, like, of course he wasn't like asking me to be his toy. I had nothing to do with that. But here's the cool thing about Ula, you guys, is it doesn't have to be your personal story. The details of the story we're dancing to do not have to be exactly the details of your story for it to still feel like whoosh. I feel that in my body. And today I just like roared through that song because I was like, holy shit. Like, I think I'm holding on to all that from yesterday.
Yeah. And you had no idea.
I didn't even know.
It was stored in your body.
It was just
somewhere
in my body. And that song came on and I just like had so much to get out. So anyways, that was just like our example of sometimes we forget like the power of what this experience
is. We forget the power of Ula.
We totally
forget. Because we're like,
it's good. It's fun. Dance, I like it. You know, we're dancing.
Then I dance around and then I get some exercise. And
I know. Still, like some one guy today, I was in a store and he's like, well, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I own a fitness company. And I felt like such a loser. Like, we really need to figure out what to say. Well,
and that's why we have
that's
this
why we're working with
wonderful
one.
Person that isn't Voldemort.
But not the Voldemort.
Name we shall not speak. Who has really helped us, is helping us
helping.
Hone our message and hone our description of what we do.
Yeah.
And it's so nice having a third party. She does Ula, Ashley, which is a huge help, by the way, and has really helped her in her life. And but to talk to someone who's not in our little circle, because she can interview a bunch of different people and just get input, and she's not biased. You know, she's not right. like, for us, we're always like, well, it is mind, body, fitness, or whatever. We yeah. have these catchphrases we always use, which are good phrases, but I don't think they totally encapsulate nor describe what we do very well.
Right.
And so it's, she's just been very, very, very good about kind of honing this in. And now she's hooked us up with another person. So experts out there, I just like to throw this out there. If you're an expert in any field of marketing.
And you're listening.
And you're listening and you're thinking.
Contact us at.
Contact us at 406-240. No. But really, you know, these people are coming to us now and we're very, very appreciative. So she got us thinking about a variety of things.
A variety.
Sometimes I have a stutter.
Are you hungry?
No, look, I'm drinking. I always get defensive. I'm not sure what that's
so
about.
It's okay.
But I'm working on that through my ULA practice.
And I'm helping her work on it by aggravating it.
She likes to aggravate it. And then she's like, it's just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
But she's deaf sometimes.
What?
How about when you're... Oh, my God. This happened like a year ago when we were flying on a trip. Every sentence I said, she's all, what?
What?
And I'm like, so I was wondering if we could do what? What? And I'm like, oh my God, what's the matter with you? So the other night we're on the phone and I'm like going on to something like I'm totally, you know, animated about. And she's like, what? And then I thought I would walk down the street and I saw a fire. She's all, what? I'm like, are you losing your hearing? I'm talking loud. Anyway, that stuff just cracks me up.
Your phone is messed up.
I did get a new phone.
Oh my God,
so I'm not
it doesn't
right with
work.
It. I'm afraid.
Anyways,
to go
we
in.
Digress.
Anyway,
okay, marketing.
Marketing. So she's got us all triggered to think about marketing and who we are. And the other night, I was watching Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, I've never watched that.
Oh my gosh, I'd already seen it a few years ago with my kid in a theater, and my son. We were just home alone, and he was like, "Let's watch it again." And I was like, "No, I've already seen it." There's two of them, by the way. I've seen both
oh, yeah.
of them.
The music is good. We listen to the soundtrack
oh,
all the time.
Oh, the music's amazing. I forgot about that,
Such
too.
Good music.
So good. So he's like, no, Mom, let's just watch it. It's really good. You'll like it again. I'm like, all right. Anyway, it was really good to watch it again, the first one. And partway through, part of the story is about these friends, these sort of misfit people getting together and forming this group.
Mm.
And a kind of a powerful group. And Chris Pratt's character has this line after they've been through a bunch of stuff. These odd characters are all joined together now. And he says to the group, one guy's like, I don't know why we're all together anyway. And Chris Pratt's like, well, it feels like we're all losers. We've all lost something. And suddenly I was like, oh my gosh, I have to write that down. It just struck me because I'm like, in ULA, sometimes it feels like we're all losers. And I thought that was such a fascinating way to look at it.
How's that for branding?
Huh?
You fitness like that? For losers.
That's what she triggered me on. So
fitness
pretty good.
For losers.
Losers, you lost something. So anyway, it totally got me thinking. It's like, we are all losers. And it made me write down. I'm like, well, what have we lost?
Mm-hmm.
And some of us have lost hope. And some of us have lost our health.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us have lost people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us have lost ourselves
mm-hmm.
along the way of this life.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come to ULA, I feel like when we first start doing it, you start getting that sense of like, oh, there she is.
Yeah.
Where'd she go?
Yeah.
Or maybe you never met her before and suddenly you're like, there she is.
Yeah.
I always wondered who I was.
I love that.
And it just totally triggered me. And then it took me down a further road of ULA started, of course, ULA started 10 years ago, but then ULA really had this reconfiguration, this rebirth after you lost Bodhi.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it was like, mm-hmm. and I came to ULA
because I came back to fitness because I had lost my health because mm-hmm. I had gotten cancer. Mm-hmm. And then it was suddenly became apparent like, oh, I want to regain my health again. And you get afraid that you're not going to have it back.
Sure. Yeah.
So I just really that I just love that. Love that concept of like, what have you lost?
Yeah.
Because what you find in Ula is what keeps us.
It's so true.
Isn't that true?
Yeah. I love that. I think it's really cool. I wonder how you all feel about that. If you guys, those of you listening, do Ula, which most of you I'm sure do, but like if that resonates with you guys, because mm-hmm. I've never really thought about it that way.
Mm-mm. No, and everything, you know, everything's marketed to us now. Like, you know,
I'm a winner.
Winner. And sometimes
I'm the best.
Most time I'm like, I'm not really.
You know what? I don't really want to be the best.
No, and I feel stressed about it. Like,
it seems hard to maintain.
I look in the mirror and I'm like, obviously you're not the best, honey. You know, like you're like, because sometimes in my mind, I'm like going around the house, like I'm the best. And then suddenly I turn a corner. I'm like, whoa, jeez Louise, you shouldn't have that cheese Danish at lunch.
Stop it.
Because I'm bloated and farty. And it's just like, you're obviously not the best. But you know, that whole feeling of like, it's all like, you're the best.
Yeah.
Or we're going to make you the best. And then suddenly it's like, yeah. I'm not.
Be at your best shape in 30 days.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to work that hard. Yeah. I don't care. Is that the goal? Like, I do feel that sometimes, like when that becomes such a priority, you become obsessed with something. It's like, and then you almost like it almost, I don't know. Like, I feel like when you get forced, like people who are on the crazy strict diets and stuff.
Oh, wow.
I tell you what, anybody who's on a strict diet, all they talk about is their diet.
I know.
Because it's so restrictive that you constantly have to think about it so you don't F up.
That's so true. And I get fascinated, like, so then you can't have that? They're like, no, I can't have that. And then I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have that. You know, I get this right. whole like chain of thought. Like,
right.
And they have to be obsessed.
You have to because
they're like,
else, yeah,
I can't have peppers in that. And I'm like, why not peppers? Well, peppers are a special oxidant that blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so you can have lettuce. Yes. You can have an avocado. No avocado. Why not avocado? Well, it has quite a bit of fat in it. I'm like, oh, no avocado. Okay. So it just becomes this weird. And then don't you think you lose yourself?
Oh, sure.
Where'd you go?
Sure.
Because you're only looking at
one. You're focused on like this goal too.
Yeah. Like, all the other pieces of yourself fall away.
Right. Right.
And that's what I like about Ula too sometimes is I feel like it incorporates all the pieces of the self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sort of, I need to be physically fit self and the,
I need friends.
I self. Need connection.
I need time away from all of my other roles.
I need some meditation to shut down.
Yep. I need a place to go a little bit wild.
I need to yell. Yeah. So you can find all those pieces.
I need to cry.
Need to cry. Like today, I was like, I was so surprised I started to cry.
Right.
I'm like, what are you sad about?
Right.
But it was like, I feel sad all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, oh, I didn't even. So then you start, you don't even realize that those pieces are missing.
No, you don't. And I think that's part of the whole lost and found thing is like, I didn't know that there was like this thing inside of me that needed to be released. Or sometimes it almost feels like you do a song and it like puts that puzzle piece back in its place. You're like, oh, I just was able to fill up energetically that space that like was kind of empty or missing.
Mm-hmm. Missing, right.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, I think that there's so much emphasis, and this is one of the other things that we talked to with our special friend, but to really think about Ula as a practice rather than like a, I don't know, like it doesn't necessarily have a goal. And I was listening to, what was I listening to? Some podcast the other day where, and we talk about this all the time, you can't fail. Like you can't fail when it's just a practice because you're just practicing. Maybe one day you suck at it. Maybe one day you suck at your meditation.
Yeah.
But you know that you're not like, I failed at meditation. You go back and you try again the next day because it's a practice.
Yeah.
You know, and we're just so like focused in this society. We're just so goal oriented.
So goal-oriented.
And that really, I feel like you can totally lose yourself when you're just thinking about this, all this directional stuff, you know, like I've got to get there. Once I get there, then I'll be happy. But what I do love about Ula is it really does meet you where you're at.
It does meet you where you are.
It's like, where are you at? Are you sad today? Here you go.
Yeah.
We'll meet you here.
Yeah. Are you mad today?
Are you tired?
Are you tired?
Are you lonely?
Yeah. Maybe you just want fitness today.
Maybe you just want a good workout.
Like, I just need to work out, you know? And you're like, and you will get a good workout.
Yeah.
I love the idea of it being a practice. Whenever I tell people, because I don't know what to say either, they're like, oh, what are you wearing? And I'm like, oh, I work for a fitness company. And they always think it's yoga.
Oh.
They're always like, oh, yoga. And I'm like, no. Why would you think yoga?
When you say ULA?
When I say ULA, or I'm like, I have an ULA shirt, and I'm like, I work for a fitness company. I've had like 10 people now. They're like, how's yoga going? I'm like, I don't do yoga.
I haven't done yoga in 25 years.
I'm like, I don't do yoga. Okay. But I think it's so funny that I just think that the other day just happened to me again. She was like, what about your yoga class? I'm like, and I looked around her. I'm like, is she talking to me? My yoga class? Uh-huh. That's why I'm gyrating in your store when the music turns on. That's what all yoga instructors do. You just start dancing to the music like that.
Oh my God.
But I just thought, and there's nothing against yoga, folks. I did have a few bad things happen to me, but not really that bad. But it's just funny that for me, they all jump to the yoga thing. And I'm like, okay.
Well, maybe because you say mind body, but that's part of our job is to show people that mind body doesn't have to just be the more
traditional
introspective, like silent.
Right. Silent type of practices.
Right. Yeah. I know.
But it was like, it's not yoga. I don't know. No, I dance. They're like, you dance? I'm like, yeah, I don't do yoga.
That's like, so funny.
But I also think it's like, you know, how much ULA changed when Bodhi died with that loss.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of happened organically, I feel like. It wasn't like you were like, and then.
Oh, no. It was like totally out of necessity.
Yeah. And that's
totally out of necessity.
Isn't that funny, though? It was out of necessity.
Yeah. I mean, I've always used music to process what's going on in my life. Always.
Yeah.
Always, always, always.
Since you were little.
So, of course, like, you know, after he died, then I turned to music and I had like all these playlists. And then the very, you know, like the first song that I choreographed after he died,
was
it was called Begin Again by Colby Calais.
Somebody played it the other day. Were you here?
No.
Oh, I thought you were. And I was like, it just totally threw me back in time.
Oh,
like I was all like, whoo, like someone had punched me in the gut.
Oh, yeah. When I hear that song,
I was like, and then I must have looked weird because they switched it.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, they switched the song. And I'm like, did I look weird?
Funny.
Yeah, I was just
That's actually a really interesting point about music, too, and about like losing yourself and finding yourself. I mean, this is what I tell people. Oh, so I'm not going to say her name, but I was texting with one of my friends who's a ULA instructor, has a baby, and I sent her a song because I was like, oh, I totally think this would be your jam. And she said, you know, like I just haven't been listening to music since I had a baby because I'm not like driving to work anymore. I'm not like, I don't have my head. I don't think she's teaching. Probably, I don't know if she's taking classes right now or anything. And I was just thinking like, oh my God, that's so true. That I do believe is one of the things that happens as like women and moms
is that
we aren't just like blaring music and stuff usually anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about what is so like that music to me is the absolutely quickest way to shift the energy. Totally the fastest way to shift energy in any space is you turn on music and it will totally change the way a place feels. And so like when you play a song like that is super, super weighted, like, you know, the song that came after my baby died.
Yes.
You know, then it's like, whoa.
Yeah, it was like
that song has like a big meaning.
Big, and I'm like, and I was almost like, you can't play that right now.
Yeah, it's almost like a little bit taboo maybe.
Yeah, it but was weird how I had that strong reaction.
But how cool to think about that, like, that music helps us find different things in ourselves that maybe we've lost too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I just told her, I'm like, just go on a walk, like go on a 15-minute walk, put your headphones in and just like, you know, blare your music because that is like the thing that I do over and over and over to get back to or to shift how I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's always music for me. You know, some people go on a run. Some people do meditation. Some people, you know, do whatever it is. But for me, it's always music. It's immediate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that?
Not as much. Well, music is hard for me because
you get so distracted.
I get so distracted. So I
think you do feel it.
Yes, it's dangerous because literally, if it's a sad song, like I'm literally like,
"Well, loser."
I'm like, I can't listen to this song. Like, I feel suddenly like I will not finish my day.
Right.
Where so, I think a lot, like Mike is kind of like you, like he just likes to have music and he has good music. But suddenly I hear it and then suddenly I'm like, what did they just say? And then the sound, and then I'm like, someone's super mad.
Right.
And then I'm like, shut up. You know, I feel my emotion is so attached
to
it. But
that's what I mean. It's the most powerful and quick way to like have an energetic shift.
Yeah. So someone would have to have a very good playlist. Or not the radio or something like that because they switch stuff around. And suddenly I'm like, uh-oh.
Oh, I'm very sensitive to that.
Someone's sad.
It's actually a lot of pressure when I have people over, like which music I'm going to have playing. Because I'm like, what is the mood?
I don't even do
it. Whenever I used to come to your house, I'd always like put music on.
Yeah, you know? Special. Yeah, because you can't put certain. And then, of course, I can't have a conversation really.
No, we totally lose you. You're gone. You're like in the song.
They're talking about
my boyfriend just left me. Like, no, he's upstairs. You're okay.
He's gone now. You see? And I'm going to be alone for another 10 years. It's like, turn off. Or I'll start saying the lyrics as they're talking to me.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
You know, something like, my hat is fried, you know, or, and everyone's like, what? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I thought you said your hat is fried, Julie. Oh, and Julie's like, I didn't say anything like that.
Oh, that is so funny. But yeah,
music is so, and for me, the movement combined with the music is just like, you know, then I can moderate it too if I get to dance with it.
Because you're an active participant in
it. Yeah, maybe. And I get to tell the story versus it telling the story to me.
Oh, whoa.
Oh, that might be what it is.
That's interesting.
Uh-huh. I feel like I have a little bit more handle on it. Like, this is the story.
This is the story.
I know this story. You know, like,
sure.
This is.
Oh, that's very interesting.
I have control over it a little bit. You don't get to control me. I get to control your direction in my brain and body.
Yeah. Oh, I that's interesting. I also feel like there's so much imagery that comes up for me. Like, I do feel like music is my access point, or it's like my portal to source. Like, I have the craziest visualizations when I'm teaching.
Oh, whoa.
Like, I have the craziest stuff happen. Gosh, did you see that video where I think it was a church, but it was like all of the white people were just like asking forgiveness to the group of black people.
No, I didn't see that.
And they were just like, you know, they were just like on their knees and they were like apologizing and begging forgiveness. And then the black people were just like crying. It was just a very emotional, like it was just so emotional. And like that image just was like so powerful for me during Still Rolling Stone today because I was like feeling like all the white people like just picking up that rock that's so heavy and being like, I gotta deal with this, you know, and just being like, I am so, so sorry. All of the mistakes that we as a white
as a culture,
you know, I could just like feel it. And I was just, I could just see, it's like, I went into that video that I saw, that YouTube video, I was just like in it as I was dancing.
Picking up the stone.
Yeah. Oh, I was just man, that is a big stone we got to pick up.
Yeah, that's a big stone. You gotta keep rolling it.
It's wild though. It's like so wild where the music can take you. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I have so many like revelations as I'm dancing. I'm like, wow, what's happening now? Where are we going now?
Yeah, there's so many emotions that are released with the.
It like taps me into it. I'm like, oh, there we go.
And then you can decide some of them you want to keep.
Yeah.
You know, like my anger, sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, I want
to
keep
I'm
holding on to that. It's going to make me a little more powerful.
Yeah.
But some of the things like feeling worthless or, you know, like you're so broken that it's like, I'm like, oh, you can release that, B. You don't have to keep holding the shame maybe that you feel around certain behaviors or think choices you've made.
Yeah. 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 Sometimes like the sexy, like, sometimes maybe that will be the only time in that whole day that I feel sexy.
Oh,
you know, when I'm like doing some of these songs, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm feeling good. Oh, you know, and that may be the only time that day that I'm like, oh, that's right.
I danced the Kings and Queens song, our new song, last night. I was home alone, or Ray was upstairs watching. So I'm like, I'm just going to put it on because it's kind of fun.
It's super fun.
And it's kind of character based.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I just want to be a character for a moment.
Yeah, I know.
And it was totally worth it.
Yeah. Are we still talking about when things are lost?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like finding things.
It's like finding
but things. But when things are lost, you have to find them.
You do.
Because, like, I was talking about that baby. Like, I posted a picture of Theo today.
Oh, yeah?
Or a video.
Yeah.
He's so, like, it's like...
Her grandson.
It's like 4 months old. He's...
It. She always calls babies it.
He's...
My God, we were sleeping at her lake house the other weekend. And I was sleeping in bed with her. And it was like... I don't know, like 12:30 at night or something. And we just like could not stop laughing. We're laughing. And then it was so late. And then she's like, I think that this is the time that the humans go to sleep now. I'm like, oh my God. You are like seriously an alien from another planet.
Because I didn't think I would sleep because sometimes I don't.
And then you're like, this is when the humans sleep now. I'm like, okay. You call all babies it.
It. Well, it the baby. It,
the baby.
My yeah. grandson.
Your grandson.
My grandson.
There you
Theo.
Go.
Joe, my daughter, made a video of him, and she was scaring him with a sound. She was saying, but his face, he's so, like, it's a four-month-old being, and his emotions are so tuned in. Like, his little face, yeah. he's, like, yeah. smiling, and then he goes.
Oh, he was, like.
And yeah. then he goes, like, he starts to cry. And then she's like, it's okay. And then she goes. And then he goes, and he has the shock look, and then the shock look goes with the sad look.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was amazing to see the purity of emotion, that the brain is so, and the body, they're so perfectly aligned.
They are.
At 4 months old.
Yeah.
And so I think we lose that purity of alignment of those emotions and those reactions. Because it's like, I couldn't
That's
do that
really
if you scared
powerful.
Me.
Yeah.
I'd be like... Yeah, that's funny. You know, even inside, I might be like, fuck, I thought I was dead. You know, or yeah. whatever it is you're yeah, talking right. about the other day. You're not going to be like,
don't say his name.
Oh, my friend Bob.
Oh my God.
Jonathan. You guys don't even know him. He's related to Voldemort's cousin.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
So
and all the things that I was feeling inside,
like you're
I'm
not,
still like, yeah,
yeah
okay.
it's okay. You're, yeah. And you're getting smaller.
I totally was smaller.
Yeah.
My whole body went in.
And he's a nice person, like she said.
He's a very gentle soul.
She doesn't have to do that.
I was not scared.
No.
I was not, I did not feel
she
like he was intimidating.
Mm-mm.
Nothing. We were having he was being great.
A very good conversation.
I know. It's so funny.
That we have to have sometimes.
And I'm all like, yeah, I'm an empowered woman. And then I'm like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. And instead, you know, like, a baby be like, oh, or like,
yeah.
no, you know, you just have
yeah.
all those, but we lose that purity of connection.
Right.
And then that's why I feel like in Ula, for those moments, we are fully connected
mm-hmm.
to our emotions, to our brain, to our body,
mm-hmm.
to the cosmos, to each other.
Well, and that's why we do all those crazy face exercises at training too,
oh,
where it's like when there's a sad song, you act with your body the sadness. What does your face do? What does your eyes do? Where does your head go? Where do your shoulders go? And everyone's like, this sucks. Not everyone, but some people are like, this is so
they
dumb.
They hate doing
But it's
it,
like, yes,
people.
But this is how we get into alignment.
Yeah, now we got to play that video of this baby.
Yeah, sure.
Because people they'd be like, oh, he's scared. He's excited. He kind of looks excited too. Like, is it exciting?
Right.
But then you see him switch to being, it's not exciting.
Yeah.
It's actually scary. So you see his brain trying to make sense of it.
Totally.
And then to sadness, like, I'm unsafe. I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you see, like, that's what we're trying to get at when you teach.
Yeah.
You know,
or when you dance.
Or when you dance, either as a participant or as an instructor.
Right.
You need to feel, when you're feeling those things and you're connected to your body and your face, they will come through you.
Right. And it's very therapeutic.
You don't have to sing a sad song and just be like a smile on your face. I feel uncomfortable with it, so I'm just going to smile.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people do. I mean, you can see people's comfort level with emotions.
With what emotions are, I do
totally.
Anger real good.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, getting into some of those more unacceptable emotions, you can see like where people are uncomfortable with those.
Mm-hmm.
But then who am I? Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm totally comfortable with these emotions. But then I get onto the real world and I'm like, yeah, that's okay. I mean, if it's okay with you, then I would really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but that's why I think it's also important to practice these things here so that you can start to feel how it feels and then you can use it out there.
In your real world.
In your real world.
So maybe they're not lost. They're just covered up.
Well, you practice. You gotta practice them.
You gotta. Know? Yeah, you gotta it's like riding a bike. You gotta remember.
You gotta practice how it feels to be like standing in your power. You gotta practice how it feels to like use a powerful voice and say your truths.
Right.
You gotta practice like being able to hold space for other people's sadness.
Yeah. You know? Or you like my husband's mom just passed away a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we had a little service. We couldn't go to where she was having the service. Her service. She wasn't happy.
I was going to say.
That would be interesting. But that wasn't the case. And so we couldn't go there, but they FaceTimed us in. Yeah. His family FaceTimed our family in. And so we were all kind of like, da-da-da, you know, kind of talking about her, you know, in a controlled way. And then suddenly they... At the her service, they play a Willie Nelson song, and it was some sad song. Like, it sounded sad. Like, I can't remember what it was. And I couldn't really hear the words, but the sound of it was sad. And then all of a sudden, like, everyone in our group just broke down.
Yeah, music.
It was music, like, instant. Like, yeah. Mike, my husband, just started
everybody
sobbing, yeah. And then everyone just started. And then he even said, I had no idea how sad I was.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. He said, I'm really sad.
Yeah.
And it was so great. He's so appreciative of doing that service.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we didn't have to like gather all the kids together and sit on someone's picnic table, you know?
Yeah.
But that was the importance of, cause he didn't realize, especially for him, letting go of his mom, how sad he really was.
Right. Oh, poor Mike.
And I think that's what Ula does. Like, it happened for you today.
Yeah. I was like, oh, wow. I didn't realize how much I was storing.
And storing. And see, this is what happens to us, you know, year after year, day after day. We're storing stuff. And then suddenly someone says something kind of simple, like, can I put my glass on your table? And I'm like, what? Or someone might be like, oh, you know, my dog died. And suddenly I'm like, you know, and they're like, wait, I need to talk about my dog, you know, right. But yeah. You have this upwelling of sadness because you haven't released.
That's a really good point. You know, like I, you know how everyone's like, when someone tells you something sad happens, your job is just to listen, not like, oh, I feel, you know, or to or tell I'll a story about my know, something dog. Sad too. But like, I think what you just said is a really good point. You know, like. I think humans are so connected that it only makes sense that like when you hear something really sad, it's going to activate like your sadness. Like, I think that's being, energetically open. Even.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
For me, I'm like, this is not this, like holding space is different. I think than like, well, I don't know how I'm trying to say this, but I just don't think we should feel bad when we have an emotional response to other people's emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As long as they don't dominate.
Well, you just said that you, when someone says your dog dies, then you could go.
Yeah. And then sometimes I feel bad because I dom, you know, that
right.
It wasn't. I mean, I think I, so as a counselor, of course, that comes in, but maybe as a, just a regular human, but you don't want to be. Then I feel like I take away from the other human sometimes if I'm just like, someone's like, well, my dog died and I want to talk about it. And I'm just like, you know, it's almost like what you said, like over telling your story. Like, well, my dog died. It happened a long time ago. And versus like,
see, I'm the opposite. Like, I'm totally the opposite of what they say you should do because I feel so much better when it's like, I'm not alone in my feelings.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't like for someone just to, like, listen and nod and hold space for me. I like it when people, like, get into it with me.
Yeah.
Because then I'm like, thank you. Like, it's, I don't know. It feels good to me.
To me, it feels like a balancing act from working with people over the years. Like, sometimes people are overboard and then you're like, hold on. I want to talk about my cancer first. You know?
Yeah.
Someone's like, actually, my leg was severed.
But I feel like the times that I've been really sad and I cry to you, when you cry with me, it feels really, really comforting.
It's like a shared crying.
Yeah, it's a shared crying.
It's not like, you know, of course it doesn't matter really. I mean, do it however you want to do it, folks. But it's not like you told me a sad story and then suddenly you're having to comfort me.
Right. No.
And you know that.
And I get that. Like, I totally get different. That. I'm not talking about that. But I like it when I'm crying about something sad and then somebody cries with me.
Oh, yeah. I definitely.
I really like that.
Someone tells me something. Like, they're like, you know, this sad thing happened. And of course, you're like, oh, my God, that's totally sad.
Because I feel like they're actually, like, feeling something with me.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know, like, I don't know. I like it. This brings me to another interesting point because I was listening to Brene Brown's podcast. Did you listen to that?
I listened to that one. Yeah, that was
about
good.
Like shame and
the difference between shame and guilt.
Oh, the difference between shame and guilt. And so this was my big takeaway point that I was very interested in.
I talked to Ray about that.
Oh, did you?
I did. I just said, you know, there's a difference between shame and guilt.
You guys should listen to this podcast by Brene Brown. It's amazing.
It's really good.
Her new series. It's called like Unlocking Us. And it's one of the more recent ones. It's about like, because shame's in the title. Shocking. Brene Brown talking about shame. But one of the things that I thought was really interesting is she said, like, there's a very big difference when you say like, you are messy versus you are being messy. Mm-hmm. And she was telling the story about how her daughter's kindergarten teacher emailed Brene and was like, wow, I can tell she's the daughter of a shame researcher because I told your daughter, like, when she was painting today, like, how messy she was. And she said, no, I am not messy. I was being messy or whatever.
Yeah, she took the behavior away from who she was. She separated it.
And that's the difference between shame is like, I am messy. And that's a shame response. But like, I am a good person, but I made a mess. Mm-hmm. That's just you can maybe feel guilty about doing something, but you know, like, that, you know, you don't take that on as like who you are. And there's all this research between like when you feel shame, it leads to like addiction and all these other things that are, you know, it's just, it's kind of like
compensate because you feel so worthless.
Yeah. But like, I don't know if I'm totally messing up my kids then. Because, and I want to talk about this to you, B, because you're a comedian. And like for us in our household, the way that we diffuse a lot of our built up stuff is like, if my kids do something, you guys are going to think I'm a terrible person. But when my kids do something and I want them to know that like maybe they shouldn't have done it, but I also don't want to be like, now, Piper, please remember after you're done painting, put the cap on. Like that's just not how I am. It's not how I talk.
Yeah.
But I'll look at her and I'll be like, you're such a messy little stinker, you know, or something like that.
Like a joke, yeah.
Yeah, I turn it into like a playful thing. Yeah. And then she giggles and then it kind of is like, and diffused. Then I'd be like, Piper, get over there and go, you know.
Clean
it up. But it like diffuses it. And so we use like playfulness in my family a lot to diffuse like what could be a stressful thing. Or if I'm like super overwhelmed, then I'll just like, oh my gosh, everyone, you're driving me crazy. And then my kids can laugh about that.
Yeah, they're not afraid of you.
Yeah. And so, but I mean, I don't know. Then I was like, oh, Brene Brown would tell me that that is not the way I should be parenting my kids because I'll call them like, you're a messy little gremlin. Look at the floor.
But they know it's a joke.
Yeah, they know it's a joke.
They're not like internalized. It's not like you're messy.
And then they're going to grow up and go to counseling and be like, no, it's, I think so much is tone.
Yeah, so much is tone.
I think so much is tone.
And you see your kids, dude, if you say something in that tone, they're all like,
yeah. Yeah, totally.
She's upset. You know?
But I was just thinking about that. I wonder how much of her research includes tone.
That's a good point.
Because there's power in words, but I think that there's almost even more power in tone. I mean, who the hell am I? Like, obviously, Brene Brown has researched this for her life.
Right.
But for me, I'm like, I just don't know if I totally agree with that. Like, I think saying, Piper, you have made a mess in the living room. Is probably different than being like, Piper, you're a messy little gremlin and you got to get in there and clean it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
So friendly too. I mean, you sound it's so friendlier. Friendly and jokey and like, she's not going to kill me for it or something.
And then for me personally, like I just don't function in that. Could you please go and do this, Piper? Like that's just not how I talk.
No, it's probably going to be more inauthentic too. Like if you're really upset, yeah. It'd be more like,
I was just thinking about tone, but I was also not only tone, I was also thinking about humor.
Yeah.
What were you?
Well, it's not just tone, it's body.
Oh, and body language.
Don't you think? Because a lot of times my parents wouldn't say anything.
Oh, that's scary. That's
but they have that body language, and I think that gets internalized.
Oh, my kids get scared about that. They'll look at me because I'm so loud. The other day I like did something and Huxley goes, Mom, it's a little too early to be that loud. And I just laugh. But so when I am quiet, because I'm so loud, when I am quiet, they're always like, Mommy, why aren't you talking?
Oh, yeah.
They are so uncomfortable when I'm quiet.
I internalize so much stuff from that, from the non-spoken.
Non-spoken is way scarier.
Scary. Like I just get all like.
Than for me to call my kid a little turkey.
No, and at least they kind of know what you're talking about too, versus someone just looking at you like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, is it, are you mad or do you not like me or?
Totally.
You know, what are you trying to, how are you trying to communicate?
Just say something.
Say something. Say a word. Say two, three words. Link them together.
Do a dance. Yeah. Put on a song. Something. Something.
So I feel like shame can be internalized through so many ways, through tone, through body language.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, you just gotta be aware of how you're presenting stuff to people.
Right.
Especially the kids, because they.
But what do you, I mean, you are more of a comedian than I am, obviously, but like, I'm wondering like, how comedians are doing with so much really unfunny stuff right now.
Oh, I don't. I think a lot of them, you know, I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't seen a lot of stuff on the racial injustice stuff. I feel like a lot of comedians are staying away from that.
Uh-huh.
Black Lives Matter.
What about COVID?
I don't see a lot of stuff on COVID. They're making fun more of the government.
Right.
The government's response. That seems like something you can make fun of. You know, like, yeah, you know, where's the testing?
Yeah.
you know, that kind of stuff. But
I just wonder, like, I wonder where you draw the line between when humor is inappropriate and when it's appropriate. Because for me, like, laughing is so healing and therapeutic.
Yes.
That, I don't know, like, I'm sure, as most of you guys can imagine, sometimes there's like very inappropriate like things that are said, you know, just like, and it's like, I don't know. I feel like everyone is so serious right now.
Oh yeah.
It's so serious. And everyone's so afraid to say even the slightly like incorrect thing. Cause it's just like, that's the wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
It's
Did you talk about masks? Like even when we started at the beginning of this podcast, I'm like, uh-oh.
Mask.
I made some joke about mask.
Uh-oh. Do not make a joke.
That's all my,
no jokes.
No jokes on masks. Because you see the post, everyone's like, you know, either they're for or against masks. And everyone's so strong about it. I even thought like, oh no, I've mentioned that already. I made a joke about masks.
Well, that's what I'm like. But I just wonder where.
Part of it's kind of funny.
And humor comes into all this.
Well, and also like, remember when 9/11 happened? You probably don't.
But well, I was okay. In Spain.
It's fun. Well, when it happened, it definitely wasn't something you could joke about.
Right. Nobody was making jokes.
I feel like you can't still. I mean, maybe you can now. It's almost like if there's a tragedy or a crisis.
Yes.
As we have to kind of stay around, away from it a little bit as we're because we're like, it's kind of big.
Yeah. But I think that humor, when things are so big, when things are so bad, like it actually for me feels really nice to get a little bit of levity or else it feels like I'm like, oh God, this is so bad.
Yeah, right.
This is so bad. Like I remember playing a game of Cards Against Humanity right after Bodhi died. One of our friends, like one of the answers was a dead baby and he played the card and we were like, you know, going around the circle and read it. But we all just like busted up laughing. We were just like dying laughing. And of course, like it's not funny. It's not funny when your baby dies. But for some reason it felt really good.
It was a diffuser, yeah.
It felt so good to just laugh. Like even when we were at the hospital, after I had delivered him, you know, and you have to give your baby away to the nurse and they take it to the funeral home or wherever. And I remember as we were saying goodbye to the nurse and like packing all of our stuff up to leave, I said, well, better luck next time, huh? And then we all like, the nurse didn't laugh, but Rob and I were just like dying laughing.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. For me, it's like, I think it's a really interesting thing. Like we have to be so intentional and careful about our words, but I also do feel like laughing is just so healing sometimes.
Oh, it is so healing. And it's sort of knowing when the time is right,
depending on the people,
the group, or who, you know what I mean? Like, and then of course you do things that are like, you know,
totally
I'll do it a lot. People, you know, my husband will be like, that's totally inappropriate.
You cannot say that.
But you just
I was just thinking about like the whole Brene Brown podcast and tone, when humor can come in and how, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's just, I think we as a collective right now are just looking at so many different things and how to move forward
We're just in a huge crisis too. I mean, I think this will be hopefully the biggest crisis of our lifetime.
Well, I think climate change is going to be.
Well, that'll be slower too. Like this is very like, it's kind of like you were shopping yesterday. You're done today.
Right.
You know, you're all like, well, I was just there yesterday. They're like, not today.
Right.
And yeah. so it's one of those things where it's so immediate
right.
that our little human brains have a hard time.
Yeah.
We're used to like, then
gradual
it got, then it got hot, and then.
Then it got hotter.
Then 100,000 people died.
It's like the story of the frog when you put him in water.
Oh, and the boiling water. And you turn the heat.
You slowly turn the heat up.
And they're like,
and he just kind of is like, I guess I'm used to this now.
It's not
I guess I'm used to this.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And then he's dead.
Right.
Like, I think humans are kind of like that.
There we are.
But maybe right now it's like we just got thrown into a pot of boiling water.
And we're like, ouch, that hurts super bad. Yeah, we didn't. Nobody turned it up gradually. And I think.
Yeah, but I still don't think people feel, I mean, with COVID, there's still people who don't believe in it.
Oh, no. But the states that have the high stuff,
yeah,
they do believe in it. You know, New York, they believe in it.
Right.
Texas, I think, is now believing in it.
Are they?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I just heard their morgues are over full.
Oh.
So they're having to get refrigerated trucks. And that's when a place starts to really buckle down, because then you know.
Yeah.
Because it's more like, oh no, you just have much. As humans, we're so wonderfully gifted at overlooking things.
And we're adaptable.
We're so adaptable. We're like, it's okay. It's kind of hot today. It's been hot for about 10 years now. You know, we're like, that's all right. I'll go to the river. But when suddenly it's like your whole town is burnt down, then we're all like,
oh, I think something's wrong.
Should we do something?
Right.
You know, so it's our gift and our curse at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's why we do Ula.
And back to Ula. She's rounding it back.
Do you
hear her? She has to go.
Because when you're lost, you have to be found.
Maybe. Wow.
Oh,
that was deep. I love her long pauses. I'm like, what's coming?
I don't know.
What's coming?
She's having a senior moment.
She's having a grandma moment. She's our grandma now.
I'm a grandma.
Well, that was it was nice to chat with you.
It was
we
nice.
Covered a lot of topics.
We did.
I don't know how we're going to name this one.
This is
we'll have to figure that out.
We'll figure it out.
In 5 minutes.
We're creative.
We're creative people.
We love you guys.
We love you guys. Let us know your thoughts. How you're doing.
Thanks for listening. Tell your friends about us too.
Tell your friends about us
too.
Bye.
Bye.